Let's go to this verse real quick. The Lord showed me before we got started. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Oh, glory to God. I tell you what, now is the time in the earth and in seasons, however you want to put it, but in this day and hour, you want to have something that works. Now is not the time to doubt what you have that you're living by. It is not the time. Thank you, Lord. I think about this last night. A comfort zone where I mean I'm okay, you're okay, let's just pretend comfort zone is not a luxury we can afford anymore. In fact, that's what we're seeing so many people, both in the church, especially out of the church, but I'm talking about primarily as believers, although we're speaking to everybody, hopefully. We're seeing comfort zones evaporate before people's very eyes. You know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We're going on a year. all of this going on. And this will change and things are going a different direction. And a lot of Christians, I'm not speaking for non-believers because that's a whole different set. But there's a lot of Christians we've seen, and even in ourselves, let's examine our own selves. How we thought things would go has not held up to how they've gone. So what are we basing our information, our confidence, and our day-to-day security on? It has to be on solid ground. Let's look at this in Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, here's another word for delight. This is not, anybody ever read scriptures and all of a sudden they think of what they're not doing and how they're falling short? We've been trained to think like that. And it should, when you see, you need to delight in the word, and all of a sudden somebody lays some burden on you that it's hours and hours a day. I heard Dr. Kenneth Hagin say this years ago, that the Lord gave him this. He said, if my people will just give me a tithe of their time, that's 2.4 hours per day. He said, they'll see their eyes transform before their eyes. Their lives transform before their lives. Let me get it right. Third time. Right? They'll see their lives transform before their eyes. Just give them a tithe of your time. You can break that up. That's lunch breaks. When everybody else gets their mandatory 15-minute afternoon break and morning break at work, just sneak your read. Man, I used to run out into the parking lot, grab my Bible, and just, I'd read a chapter as quick as I could. Just I had to get something in me. And you can sneak in. Commute time, evening time, we can shut Jeopardy off and the Wheel of Fortune. We already know what the answer is going to be anyway. My mom, she could have two letters up on the Wheel of Fortune and get it. Couldn't she? Isn't that right? You didn't even want to play games with her because she'd just win it with like, why bother? Really? You'd think you're like, finally, I got a full house, and she'd have a straight flush. And it's just like, I'm done. I'm not even playing anymore. So like, we can just turn the Wheel of Fortune off. We already know Pat's going to have perfect hair and his Botany 500 sport coat on. Remember at the end of the, sponsored by Botany 500. Just go ahead and turn it off. Give the Lord some time. This is fuel. You know what you don't want to do when you get up in an aircraft? Run out of fuel. That's no bueno. Not a good day out. You want to make sure you have plenty of fuel. Do you know what your faith needs to get from here to there? Here meaning, I decide I believe this, to, hey, there's the results that I want. It needs fuel. They say about fitness that nutrition is the foundation. You can do all the work, but you can't outwork a bad diet. This is what we need for our lives as believers, is good fuel and a solid foundation. So what's it worth to us? I'd rather have miraculous results than a comfort zone. Amen. You know what I mean? I'd rather not avoid a fight, but if the fight's coming, I'd rather have it on my terms. Let's go ahead and just get into it. But I'd rather win it than be noble and brave, but lose it. Do you know what I'm saying? I'd rather have God's help and we win the fight and have a glorious testimony that's around for all the ages to glorify God, not glorify me, glorify the Lord from, then be brave and still lose. There's a lot of believers who died in the Bible who didn't have to. There's a lot of believers who chose. We're not talking about those who chose the reward of a martyr. But I don't want to leave this earth until I get my job done. So what does that have to do with all this? We got to make sure that our foundation, I say our foundation, that sounds very ecclesiastical, you know, very hermeneutical. I'm talking about, we got to make sure what we're basing our confidence on day by day is solid. Because you don't want to be basing it on something that isn't reliable. Everybody got that? So this is what he says, but his delight, think about this, his favorite, his priority. You ever notice about your favorite hobby? You'll sneak time for it anywhere you can. That's not an indictment. That's just fact. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's decide, because we're only one decision away at all times from making corrections. Let's decide to make God and his word and his, the words that have come out of his mouth, our covenant with him. Let's just call it that. Our blood covenant with God should be our favorite. And if it's not, we just decide it. You're not some long repentance and fasting season away from that. You just decide, sir, I see that I've gotten my priorities out of whack. I've let outside pressure and things in my flesh dictate this. I'm deciding again that you're my favorite. And my blood covenant with you is my favorite. These are my favorite things. Because they're going to be still with us when we leave the earth. All this other stuff, it's going to stay behind. The only thing we can take with us is our faith in God and our people. People that we help and people that we lead to the Lord. That's all we can take. What's in our heart and people. That's it. So I got a lot of favorite things. I got a lot of things I like. I need to have number one. Always stay number one. And everything else is a distant second. He's my favorite. Amen. I remember something that, again, Brother Hagin used to tell us. He said, we decide once with all of our heart that we're committed. But consecration is something that not only we decide it once, but we decide it again and again. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart by Jesus Christ in the blood covenant with God. Isn't that wonderful, man? Hallelujah. But we decide on our own that we're all in with him all the time. Lord, I'm sticking with you. I'm wholehearted with you. We can tell things are could be better. When we think about the word, we think about taking time, and we get kind of, I don't want to do that right now. That's not really us. That's our flesh. That's other things pulling on us. We're more in tune with worldliness. We're in this world. Jesus didn't hide us from the world. He sent us right in the smack dab middle of the world. He just said that, I pray that they not be of the world. So we're right out here in the middle of it, thinking about it, you know, be involved with it, working in it. But our training should be that we're not a part of it. We just go about our lives in it. We should know how to function in it. If we don't have sinners for friends, we're really missing God. What do you mean by that? Aren't we supposed to avoid the world? We're supposed to avoid thinking about it and talking like it and thinking like they do. But we're supposed to have lots of friends who are sinners. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. If we don't, who are we influencing for the Lord? We're not called to be isolated or called to be consecrated and separated. Everybody understand the difference? We're supposed to walk in blood covenant with him and still supposed to have plenty of sinners for friends, including Christian sinners. Christians who are backslidden should feel magnetized to us. Do you know what I mean by that? They feel secure around us. They know they're not living right. Their conscience is bothering them, but they're looking for someone secure to be around who's not going to look down on them and judge them. All right, so his delight, his favorite, is the law of the Lord. Well, think about it in the New Testament, is the blood covenant, the words that have come out of God's mouth. And he says this, and in his covenant, does he meditate, think about, imagine, and use his mind on day and night? I like that, Lord. I just read day and night, and I heard this in my heart. Any chance he gets to think about it, any opportunity he's thinking about, ooh, glory to God, sir, I'm thinking about you. I'm yours and you're mine. This is sworn in blood. I'm thinking about how you are the God who does the impossible. And you do it for me. Glory to God. Hey, that's a good 30-second meditation right there. Hallelujah. Now, he says this, and he shall be like a tree. This is what we wanted to get to, what the Lord showed me when we got started. Planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that good? That means that heat, we know this from Jeremiah chapter 17, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. It says he shall be like a tree planted by the water. He won't see when drought comes. We're in a very severe weather season right now in the earth. I don't mean naturally, I mean spiritually. But if you're planted by the river, the weather doesn't affect you. Drought will come and blow those dry scrub brushes that he talks about in Jeremiah 17:5. Blow those dry scrub brushes wherever that wind wants to go. But when you're a tree planted by the rivers of water, you just go on and act like it's still spring. You can be in the middle of a heat, parched land, just absolutely kill everything in sight, famine. But yet you're a tree planted by the rivers of water, and your roots are sunk down deep into that water, into the love of God. And it happens all around you, but doesn't happen to you. Now write that down, everybody. It happens all around you, but it doesn't happen to you. Y'all want me to say that again? It happens all around you, but it doesn't happen to you. You know, the only things that happened to Job were the things that Job feared. He was in a hedge, perfectly protected from everything that eventually got to him, but his fear opened the door. So what do we do? Well, easy. We decide not to fear. We're one decision away from not fearing. I didn't say you wouldn't have feelings about fear or have feelings of fear, but it's your decision ultimately whether you're afraid or not. And in case you haven't noticed, you're being sold fear and strife 24 hours a day. And fear leads to, I'm not going to quote Yoda, fear leads to anger. No, we're not going to quote that little moon bat puppet, although I like him a lot. No, we're going to, fear leads to doubt and unbelief. O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Do you see how that rolls downhill? Suddenly something shows up to alarm you, and we've made a decision instinctively that suddenly somehow the covenant stopped working. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're getting off on a tangent, but we're going to take it anyway. Things are going to sell and pressure our attention and our faith in God that it's not working. And I ask you this, who said so? Everything natural that we would look at, everything natural related that would come against our minds is manipulatable. We look to those things that are unseen, those things sworn in the blood covenant that we just haven't seen come to pass yet in our life. They are eternal and unchangeable. One of the things about that we don't look to things which are seen, but the things which are seen are temporal. That means temporary or subject to change. Well, if it's subject to change, anybody can change it. Do y'all get this? If it's subject to change, anyone can change it, which means it's not reliable. What we want is something that is 100% reliable all the time. That's our goal. So in the Amplified version of Psalms chapter 1, if you have an Amplified on your phone or something like that, you can read along with it. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. That sounds really good to me. How about you? You already have my attention. He says, is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now listen to this. Following their advice, plans, and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. There was about a year solid where I was off social media at the Lord's direction because I was so wound up in it. This was in between 2012 to 2013. He said, you need to get off social media for a while. I said, but okay. That's the way he was leading, but you know, help me out. And so then I read this verse, and you need to sit down and relax where the scornful and the mockers gather. And I went, oh, and I just wanted to throw my tablet across the room and say, I won't get on it anymore as soon as I read that. Look at this. But his delight and his desire are in the law of the Lord and on his law, the precepts, instructions, and teachings of God. We're in a new covenant in Jesus' blood. So we're thinking about his teachings, his precepts, and his promises, and that we're in a blood covenant. He habitually meditates, ponders, and studies day by day and by night. He shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth his fruit in his season. Now look at this. Its leaf shall also not fade or wither. Why would it fade or wither? Pressure, heat. How about this? Why would a leaf on a tree fade? It's no longer getting supply. It says, shall not fade, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Amen. Isn't that good? Let's look at one more thing before we jump into the bulk of what the Lord wants to address today. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. And because we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we have especially ears to hear, let's look at this like we've never looked at it before. Let's decide to look at this with a fresh set of eyes. Master, talk to us. We have open hearts. Something I was thinking about this morning and that the Lord brought it back to my remembrance, something I heard years ago and I heard it from him, and it came back this morning. Hearing from God, like I said this morning, we don't have the luxury of a comfort zone anymore. Just, you know, wherever you just act like everything's okay. Do you know what I'm talking about? Comfort zone? Okay, good. We've got to ask the Lord, let's not assume that we're missing it, but if we don't have the results that we want, let's ask him if we are missing it anywhere and be teachable. Our egos should not be hooked to our faith in any way. Our faith is not a means to be superior to anybody else. Well, you take this away from me, I'm not good at anything. Hey, then let's just go ahead and admit where you are, that you just may not be right now good at anything. That's not a final destination. That's just temporary, though. We can have a lot of knowledge that we're full of pride about and getting zero results. We don't have the luxury of being in that anymore. Let's throw it all away, start from scratch, and say, God, I humble myself under your mighty hand. That's when you get the grace. You can have one dose of grace that will give you more success and prosperity than you've ever had in your entire life with all of your tape series and knowledge and training that hasn't amounted to a hill of beans as far as fruit or success. Hallelujah. That's pretty stout, but it's good. Let's go ahead and take a teachable student attitude and say, God, if I'm missing it anywhere, I haven't seen the results yet that I want to see. The fault is not with you. Your word and you never fail. Hallelujah. And with you, all things are possible. So, show me where I'm missing it. Teach me, correct me, and instruct me. All of this is to get the results. All of this is to get his, I like what the book of Proverbs says, to get the gold, to get the result, to get to the end result of having his plan come to pass in our life. Amen. And we'll be happy about it. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew 7, 23. Let's look at this. Let's back up a little bit. Looking for that other verse. Oh, that's in the book of Luke. No wonder. The book of Luke the book of Mark in chapter 4 talks about this. He said, take heed what you hear. Let's check up on what we've been hearing. They say that when people say, I don't have time to work out, a lot of solid trainers and coaches will say, then let's do a time inventory. Where is your time going? And most of the solid ones will say, I guarantee you I can find you an hour. I guarantee it. It's just attached to something else that you're emotionally attached to. And we'll talk about emotions in a minute. But we can find that hour. Let's look at where the doubt and the unbelief's been creeping in. And I guarantee you we can do an inventory of what we've been hearing or allowing into our ears. We can go, yep, it's coming from there and from there and from there. And if we'll fast those avenues, we'll find that the problem wasn't our faith. It was in there all along. It'll actually begin to come to the surface and to the forefront again. We'll find out that the problem was our fear and unbelief. We were influenced by what we were hearing too much. We were getting alarmed is a good word. Troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Amen. We're letting it in. Do you know why some things don't faze us in life that faze other people? Because we have training and confidence in those areas. I guarantee you, if I brought Sean a certain problem on one of his skill sets, he'd be like, oh, that's so simple. That's not even a problem. I remember as a little kid, I'd break stuff and be all just absolutely distraught. Just tears running down my face. And I'd bring it to my dear old dad. I mean that respectfully, not calling him old. And he'd be like, oh, son, this is... And he'd bring out the super glue or the screwdriver or the whatever, the rubber bands. He said, here, fixed, no problem. And I would absolutely... I'm still crying, but now I'm laughing from the relief. Because in my eight-year-old brain, there was absolutely no solution to this catastrophe. But in his late 30s and early 40s, he's like, this is not even a, you know what I'm saying? This is not even a problem. If I brought Steve a spreadsheet problem for scheduling at work, he'd be like, Pastor Duke, if you'll bring me my favorite drink from Sonic, this is not even, I do this in my sleep, literally. I drag myself to the computer and make spreadsheets about my spreadsheets. It's not a problem. But I said, Steve, it's just, he said, listen, I do this for fun at lunch. It's not a problem. Do you know why Steve's not alarmed going, oh my gosh, not only is it a problem, you should worry about it even more. Because he's got training and confidence in that area. Do you know why there's some things as believers that don't affect us now that used to affect us a lot? Training and confidence. We've heard reliable things that we put our confidence in. And they've been proven reliable. That's no problem. This is why David said, I killed a lion and a bear. How hard is this guy? And the same God that saved my life then and gave me victory over, listen, over my sheep. David had a shepherd's heart from the beginning. And we said, is there not a cause? One of them was, these people are my sheep. He knows he's been anointed king. He didn't forget. But he sees Israel as his sheep. And he sees this army as his sheep. And this big bully is a lion and a bear. And I'll just kill him. Problem solved. People think about, oh, his mighty courage. It's already been proven. This is not a problem. God's promotion in our life a lot of times will come through things that look like it's easy for us. Someone will ask us a question like, listen, we can't figure this out. How about Joseph? Can you handle this dream interpretation? He's like, I do that in the jail for fun. I mean, they just asked me a question. It wasn't a, ooh, I sense a season of promotions upon me. He just said, yeah, it means this. Y'all didn't know this? The reason we are getting shook up in certain areas of our Christian walk, certain areas of faith. Should we just get more to the point? Thank you. He's the Ed McMahon to my Johnny Carson, minus about 150 pounds, and a lot of alcohol. But that's okay. Do you know why, as believers, some things right now are getting us upset? No training, no confidence. We know how to handle sickness and disease. Most of us do, at least, especially in this church. We know how to handle even believing God for provision a lot of the time. We don't know how to handle all of this at once. Or haven't been very good with it all at once. We don't know how to handle political darkness. But it's the same God and the same covenant that gave us victory in the other areas that will give us victory in this area, if we'll stick with it. And when we also remember that God's not nervous, and all of this, everything is covered in the covenant. Amen. Then we can take a deep breath and realize, oh, hey, life is good. Let's look at this in Matthew chapter 7. I heard a minister say this yesterday. He said, I hope you don't have a roast on, because I'm not done yet, so you're just going to need to count it as a burnt offering to the Lord. I like that. I'm not intentionally keeping you long today. We'll have you home in time for the playoffs, but we got some things you need to say. Listen, are we not in an era where a little more information that's useful could do you good? Hallelujah. So we'll try to mind the time, but at the same time, if I give you a little extra, just call yourselves blessed. Amen. All right, in Matthew chapter 7, look at this in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever, which means this will work for anybody. You know what? So let's go ahead and say it. Say this with me. Then that means it'll work for me. Hallelujah. That's so reassuring. This Bible is for you. Let's get even more direct, because the Bible contains something. This blood covenant is for you. Hallelujah. God has promised to perform his oath in blood for you. We could stop right there and call it a good day. Hallelujah. He said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and acts upon them and does them. Let's not let ourselves off the hook so easy. If we're not being a doer of the word, but just being a hearer only, then let's not act like our lack of results is a huge mystery. Do you know what I mean by that? Let's get real honest with ourselves. Am I really acting on the word? Meaning what? Am I really acting like it's true? All right, Lord, I'll tell him. Ooh, I thought I was going to get away with it and just keep this to myself, because it stung a little bit, but it's felt. You ever needed an answer from God and it stung, but you needed it so much that it stung so good. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that had's. Thank you for helping me hear that. I'm just so glad to hear anything. I'm so glad to get it. Hallelujah. I was asking him about some certain things along the lines of financial provision. And this is what he said. I don't need to look at my notes, as I can quote it verbatim. He said, you can't believe you receive it and then act like you don't have it and expect to get anything. You can't believe you receive it and then act like you don't have it and expect to get anything. Whoa, what do you mean by that? Don't be deep. Take it at face value. I mean exactly what I said. I believe I receive it and then would go about praising and thanking God as if it's still way out there somewhere and not in my spiritual possession. Does that make it plain for everybody? Lord, I believe I receive it and I take it. Yes, I've got it. And then time passes. And then the need is still staring me in the face. And the thoughts of the requirements are popping up in my brain. And I'm getting, and whew, I can feel those feelings of anxiety setting in. Hey, I'm acting like I don't have it. I don't realize I'm doing it, but I'm going along with the feelings and the thoughts that say, you don't have it yet. What do you need to do? You need to praise some more. You need to do something else. You need to work something out to get God to keep his word. Whereas if I believe I've received it, Jesus said, believe you receive it, not think you receive it. Not flippantly quote that you receive it. But decide you sink all of your heart's confidence into the choice that you've taken it from God. Well, then I've got it. And he's handling it. But faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Romans chapter 4. Look it up, verse 17. Then that means I've got it right now before I see it. And that means that's how I act. Whew, Father, I'm so thankful for all this provision. I'm so thankful I have it. Thank you for all my harvest. Thank you for all this surplus. We act like we have surplus and supply and provision even when we don't have two nickels to rub together. And that's the rub. I heard a minister just yesterday say this, that we need to go back to the defining moments in our life where God not only did God prove himself, he doesn't need to prove himself, when God proved us and our faith was proven. You know what I mean by that? Or we stuck with our guns no matter the opposition and things came to pass, such as working from home or things in the family turning around when it looked like, could God himself do this? Could any good thing come from Nazareth? You know, like, could anything get worked out? And I was thinking about this morning. When we came up here, I'd already shut down my business and things that I was doing in Texas. And Shannon was still working from her job remotely. But then in April of 2015, she got laid off. And he just reminded me this morning, kind of like had to tap me on top of the head and go, hey, do you realize it's been 6 years this April that your wife got laid off and you've never missed a bill? You've never missed a rent payment? You've never missed a electric bill? Or now it may have been right down to the wire, but God always came through. I'm like, hey, that's not 6 months, which would still be something to shout and praise God over. That's 6 years. I said, sir, you're absolutely right. You have been faithful. And if anything has ever caused any hiccups or interruptions, it was Duke, not the Lord. I was the one getting in the way. So when he said that, you can't act like, you can't believe you receive it and then act like you don't have it. That's James chapter 1, 101. That's a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. I'm wavering back and forth. What is wavering another word for? I'm doubting. I'm going back and forth. Doubting meaning this. I'm unsteady as to who's right. But only one of them do I have a blood covenant with. Only one of them has someone said, if I break this, I cease to exist. Then that's the reliable one. Especially when that one is faithful. That he won't fail us or forsake us. And it's sworn in blood. I like what the New Living says it like this in James chapter 1. His loyalties are divided. Think about what I'm being loyal to then. I'm half loyal to God and half loyal to this manipulatable, devilish system. I don't want to give any loyalty to the devil. Do you? And that means that makes my choices of faith very, very simple. That means I'm going with God all the time. That's why this blood covenant, we have a sacred, blood-sworn bond of friendship, strong friendship with God eternally. It scars our mind and marks our thinking forever that, hey, I've got a covenant with God, which means he won't fail me. That I need to go back continually to that bond and be encouraged by it. Be strengthened in heart. Take courage. Become confident again. Take on fuel for my faith, my confidence in him. To get me from, I decide I believe you on this specific thing, to have now seen and received my specific result on this specific thing. Does that make sense to everybody? Hallelujah. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Does that sound like our natural realm and its news media right now? Hey, there's a lot of rain coming down, a lot of floods coming up, and a lot of hot air blowing around. But look at this, and it beat upon that house. Oh, the exterior of your house is going to take a little buffeting. Paul called it a thorn in his flesh. But look what happened. It fell not. No big deal. Think about it like this. All these things that may be trying to push your buttons and frustrate you externally in the world system is nothing but weather. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But what's going to last the test of time? For it was founded upon a rock. Ooh, hallelujah. It was founded on something utterly reliable and couldn't be shaken. I like what the Bible says in the Psalms. He says, I shall not be moved. Woo! Ooh. How about this in the book of Proverbs? He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. The righteous have an everlasting foundation, the proverb says. Ooh, glory to God. Isn't that good? So, hey, listen, if you're in this blood covenant, you don't have to have every question answered. And what about this and this latest political drama and catastrophe? I don't have to have all the answers. I've got a covenant with God. All right, he keeps bringing it up. He gave this to me yesterday. I thought this was just going to be just for me, but I'm going to share it. He said, in a blood covenant, you can just go ahead and enjoy and be in your own little world. The weather will blow right around you. Look at this person in the rock. They're inside their house in a rock. The rock's taking all the punishment. They're inside warm and dry with a cup of tea or a grape lemonade. God is good. They're inside and eating, you know, having their beverage, watching the golf channel. Praise the Lord. Streaming some games, playing a little Call of Duty. Yelling at the TV screen, yeah, get some. And on the outside, man, that house is just absolutely taking a shellacking. But they're safe and dry on the inside. I like what David said. I'm safe and secure in the tower on high. The Lord is my strong tower and my high rock and my safe dwelling place. He's taking refuge. Oh, man, can you see that covenant talk? I get rid of my strength. I'm going to fail quickly under all this pressure. If I take on his strength, he's not nervous. Whew. So I just sit down at the right hand of God. I like what, again, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, you say this to us, and I'm hearing this specifically on a recording he made years ago. He said, when this would show up in my life, he said, I ran and sat down next to Jesus in heavenly places. I just looked down. I looked down at all my problems, looked down on the earth. Like, woo, I'm so glad I'm not down there. I'm up here with him. That's being covenant minded. We don't get there by accident. We get there by rehearsing the covenant with our mouths to ourselves. I thank God I'm in covenant with God. That's holding fast to our profession of faith without doubting. Whew. Father, I have 63 cents in my checking account. But thank you. You always supply all my need. I say like Father Abraham, God will provide. He is faithful to keep covenant with me. Well, then I relax, because he that believeth, we that have believed, she that believeth, do enter into rest. I'm resting from all my works. Oh, thank God I'm in faith in God. Isn't that good? Isn't the Lord good? All right. Let's do this. Let's go over to 2 Timothy. Let's take some things head on. Anybody like it when you take things head on? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at this. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Does anybody need an in-depth explanation of what this means? Especially right now. That was rhetorical, but really, though, does anybody need an explanation now? Do you need me to get deep about this? Or can we just, you know, in our mind's eye, look at the news banners and headlines? Yes, no, everybody awake? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I like what the Message Bible says it like this. Don't be naive, there are difficult times ahead. The Passion Translation says it like this. You need to be aware that in the final days the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. He put it in the covenant. Say, I'm not going to hide this from you. I like what God said to Abraham. Will I hide from Abraham what I shall do? Notice what he didn't say in here. That things shall become impossible for the people of God. Faith thrives under difficulty. It's at its best. Jesus said this to Paul, and it's written in red in the covenant. Think about this. Something God said to a man came into the new covenant. Isn't that wonderful? Like something that God said to him personally, got included in the covenant. in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he says, and three times I sought the Lord about this, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't think sufficient as just barely meeting the stand, you know, just barely keeping you above water, you know, one nostril. Sufficient means my grace is plentiful for you. Amen. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, so I glory in tribulation, for then the power of Christ will rest upon me. Hallelujah. Faith in this blood covenant that we're in is at its best when things are at their worst. Glory to God. Hey, if you're not the one having to perform the oath, and you're not the one having to use the supernatural divine power, and someone does that for you, what really is the hardship? Just the enduring of it. Just the emotions that come with it. In fact, this word fierce that he uses here, fierce means strong emotion. That's one of the translations of the word fierce. Strong emotion. And man, there is unbridled emotion more than I can ever remember in my lifetime right now. Isn't that right? Yes? And yet, look with me, we don't have to go on, but he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters and proud. And he goes on and gives a whole list, and man, you know, men of sorcerers who withstood Moses, he references them in verse 8, who resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. All of this is, we could just check all these boxes off right now and go, yep, that's there, that's there, that's there, that's there. But look at what he says in verse 14. This is where he wanted to get to. Back up real quick before we go to verse 14. Look at verse 9. Talking about some of the biggest examples of all of this. Yannis and Yambres, who withstood Moses. These do resist the truth. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Why did he say that? Don't think that any of this darkness is going to win. It's already lost, and its end has been foretold. It's not going to win. No one's beating God right now. He's already won. This is actually, now I'm going to say this. Now hear this. This is my opinion, but a lot of the things that we written about in the book of Revelation will be after we're out of here. But some of it, talking about armies of darkness that are gathered against the Lord and his Christ and resisting the truth, some of this I think is there's a bleed where they begin to merge, like just bleed over one another. And a lot of this we're seeing, the resisting of the truth and people absolutely putting down anything of Christian value as something, you know, we'll just call evil. We already know how that ends. Where is the real rub for us in our emotions and in our thinking? So let's go on to verse 14 now. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them. Let me read it to you in the Message translation. Don't let it phase you. Let what phase you? The perilous times. The fierce times, the difficult times. That's another word for perilous, is difficult. Is it easy? No. But easy for who? No, it's not easy on our emotions. No, it's not easy on our attention or on our soul. I mean, even Lot, just Lot was vexed in his soul. Remember that? Some of this is vexing, but not impossible. It's just difficult. And then he says this, don't let it phase you. Stick with what you've learned and believed. Why did we spend so much time, almost a half an hour, on just the intro about sticking with the word? Let's make sure that what we're relying on is actually faith and not our opinion. I'm going to give you a list. Not our opinion, not our ego, and not our emotions. And what I'm relying on is what I'm relying on actually what God has said to me. I know there was a lot of things right around the election. People thought it was going to go one way because they didn't want to consider the alternative. But hey, it went a different way than a lot of people wanted. Does that mean Jesus' throne has an expiration date on it? We can't vote him out. Jesus is still Lord. The ending is still assured. It's in the covenant. Isn't that good news? Isn't that relieving to know that God's not even nervous? And you go, hey, guys, I'm going to make this even better. That means that this year is still the year that we flourish as a branch. That means that this is still the year in 2021 that God makes us have a surplus of prosperity. That means this is still the year that seed time and harvest still works. Sowing and reaping still works for us. And we can be excited about our harvest. We can go about living in our little covenant. Actually, it gets larger and larger by the day. In our covenant world. Isaiah chapter 53 says this. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to make a note of it in your notes. Isaiah 53. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Is that you and me? I think that's you and me. And I know that's for me. I won't speak for you. Look under the rock whence ye are hewn in the hole of the pit. We're talking about like a shaft of a mine or a gold deposit you dig precious metal out of. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. You don't need to have anybody else succeeding around you for God to go ahead and make your covenant world in your life an absolute Garden of Eden. You'll be a beacon to everyone around you. How do we keep failing and you keep succeeding? Well, that's not the time to flex on Instagram about all your success. That's the time to start giving it away and say, hey, come on over here and live with me. I got plenty of success to go around. Hallelujah. I'll tell you exactly how I got it, and I'll show you how to do it. Everything's going to be all right. You just got to do one thing. You got to accept God making you his best friend. I can do that. Then you're already, and then you're good to go. If you can do that, you can get any of this. He says this in verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. That's you and me. That's those on the mountain. That's those on the rock. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, in her desert like a garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. That's singing songs about how happy we are. I'm so, what was the line from Despicable Me? I'm so happy. Hallelujah. My kids can quote it. Glory to God. Do you see that? That's not dependent upon who's in political authority. That's not dependent upon, is the economy up? Or is the economy down? My economy is great. God is my source and he does the impossible. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Look at what he said again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation now. He says this, you must continue to advance in strength with the truth wrapped around your heart, being assured by God, he's the one who has truly taught you all these things. How are we going to go forward? With the truth. With the truth. Let's back up to verse 10. But you, this is Paul talking to Timothy now get this, have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Notice what he's saying. You have fully comprehended. There's nothing left that you need to see or learn as far as these areas. You've fully caught my faith in God, my purpose, my life, my patience, my long suffering, my charity, and my doctrine, and how I apply them all in my life, my manner of life. So then he says in verse 14, so continue in the things that you've learned. The message says this. Message Bible says, don't let it faze you. Stick with what you've learned and believe. Stick with what you've learned and put confidence in. Let's decide to make sure, sir, talking to the Lord, I don't want any assumption in my life. Pride assumes. Humility asks and makes sure. Sir, I want to just make sure. I take a position of humility before you. Where I'm missing it, show me. I open my heart and my mind to you. I don't want to assume anything. I don't want to coast another year and barely make it. I want the results the covenant has promised. I haven't been seeing it. It's not your fault. It must be mine. Show me what I need to see. Help me learn what I need to learn. I'm getting this before I get out of this earth. We can't teach an old dog new tricks. You're a new creation, not an old dog. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get with the program. I'm going to get with you. I'll walk before you and be perfect. I'm wholehearted. Hallelujah. Give it to me. Both barrels. I'm right here. Give it to me. Help me learn this. The teacher, the Holy Spirit, guides you into all truth. Into all truth that we stick with and rely on no matter what. Right here. The Passion Translation again. Continue to advance with the truth wrapped around your heart. Let's say this. It's not going to be some... In fact, someone referenced it recently in a message I heard. Some minister said, we're going to need some kind of powerful new revelation to get us through all this mess. No, we're not. Let me say it again a little more emphatically. No, we ain't. It's going to be the stuff we've already heard and learned in times past, but may have let slip. David didn't go out against Goliath with new armor, new tactics, new techniques. He went out with him with what? His blood covenant with God and the same rocks he's been using on every other problem. He went and got five smooth rocks. Hey, don't take one reload, take five. He's got a big head. It may take four or five shots. But hey, take enough. Right? Take enough. Take extra magazines with you. And so he takes five rocks. He takes off the armor Saul gave him. Now listen, also in a covenant ceremony, do you remember what Jonathan did with David? He took off his armor and he put it on David. Do you know why David didn't take Saul's armor? He didn't need a new covenant. He already had a covenant. He's saying, King, I respect you, but I don't need a covenant with you to go out and defeat this guy. I don't need to go in your place. I need to go in the Lord's place. So I'm going to stick with what I've learned. Do you see that? It's not going to be some fancy new revelation no one's heard of. It's going to be the same word that got us through all the other things. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm already in the neighborhood of Brother Steve's favorite verses. In fact, this would be a good time to read them. 2 Peter chapter 1. In fact, let's read in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Does that sound like what he's given us has covered any problem we may face? Absolutely. Not just covered it. I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm so excited. I want to just read it. Y'all just smile, but I'm really reading it for myself. Thank you, Pastor, for reading it for us. Yes, praise the Lord. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Where are we triumphing? In our blood covenant, where we're joined together with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How many situations does that cover? All of them. Who always causes us to triumph in Christ. He goes on to say this, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Glory to God. Now, let's look at this in verse 12. Verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. What did Paul just say that's going to get Timothy through everything that's going to come his way? It's going to come through going forward with the truth wrapped around your heart. Going forward, established in these truths. Established meaning secure footing, permanence, a strong and solid foundation. You're standing on reliable ground. You're not on shaky ground. What do you mean shaky ground? If enough pressure gets applied, you'll fold like laundry. Do you know what I mean by that expression? Enough pressure gets applied, you'll cave. Amen. He says this, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. What's the remembrance part? Remembrance is a covenant word. Don't you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 8, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, that it's he who gives you power to get wealth. Hallelujah. Why is remember so strong? You're rehearsing in your mind the blood covenant. I'm in a solid, eternal covenant in blood with Almighty God. And the blood that it's sworn in to show how motivated he is to keep it and perform it in my life is the blood of Jesus Christ. That is such good news. Hallelujah. Isn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says this, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth as you've been taught. Oh, look at this. I put the as in there by accident. Standing firm in the truth you have been taught. Standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it's only right I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. Hallelujah. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go over there real quick. 2 Corinthians 1. Man, I can smell it and taste it, a spirit of faith in this atmosphere. I sense so much. Now listen, if that's not how you feel, go ahead and believe you receive it. But there's so much relief and tangible confidence in the atmosphere that not only is everything going to be all right, we're going to flourish no matter what. What you're really seeing actually is this, and I can see it so clearly now. The two systems of the world system and the kingdom of God are being divided so that there's no doubt about which is which anymore. This system that we're in, the kingdom of God, God's covenant system, where God is our source and we rely on him, is being shown to be absolutely unshakable and firm ground to rely in. Where a lot of believers are experiencing trouble, and even, listen, I'm not judging other believers, even in my own thinking, I had to do some serious inventory. Where was I just kind of going along with everything? Where was I thinking that government was any sort of security for me? Hallelujah. My safety and my peace is only in one person. It is better. It is prosperity to trust in God and not in princes. Definitely not elected officials. Hallelujah. Now, where are we at? 2 Corinthians 1. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 1. Praise God. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life? Can you see that word standing out? Press. That's pressure. How much was the pressure, Paul? We despaired even of life. We did not think we were going to make it out alive. But look what happens. But we had the decision, the sentence, the answer. We had an answer come up within our heart of death in ourselves. We had the sentence of death. What do you mean? To this death that was pressing in on us, we had an answer come up. Where did he get it? From the truth that was wrapped around his heart. And he says this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. How simple is that? That's the fundamental 101 of everything Paul taught about trusting in God and in the new covenant. We trust in God and not in ourselves. We don't lean on anything of man. We're leaning entirely on him to be our safety and our security. He goes on to say this, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Isn't that good? Not only has he delivered us, he's thinking about those times. Not only is he delivering us, he will yet continue to deliver us. Now look at this. We just read this. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go back there where we just were. 2 Timothy 3. Everybody still with me? Excited about this? Excited about succeeding? Think about Joseph. Got taken. He was already in a hard life. He got sold into slavery against his will. Well, no slave is a slave because they decided to be. Not in that sense of any direction. I like what Paul says. I'm a love slave to God. I've bound myself to servitude to him by love and by choice. Oh, that's the best kind. I'm here to serve you because I want to. I'm yours for all eternity. Hallelujah. That's the best kind. But he's talking about Joseph was not a voluntary slavery. Can we just go ahead and say that? And then it goes from bad to worse. Someone lies about him and gets him put in prison. Is that persecution? Yeah. But it says, nevertheless, the Lord was with him and gave him favor and made everything he did to prosper. Did he stay in prison? For a while. But he just kept on going. Listen, that covenant he had and that strong dream was still alive that God had given him in his heart and in his mind. He's thinking about it. You can see it in his attitude when he comes in and he sees the baker and the butler, the chef and the butler from Pharaoh's house in the prison. He goes, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Hey, you fellas, why are you so down today? Nevertheless, you know, never mind that we're in a prison, but he's of good cheer and in good spirits. Because that covenant is strong in his heart and that dream's alive and well within him. I'm not staying in here. I've already seen how this ends. I don't like it. It's not the best place I'd want to be. But I'm not going to stay here forever. Let's adopt that attitude about any present circumstances. I like what Paul said. It's my temporary situation. It is but for a moment. This light affliction, it's not that big a deal. It's just for a moment. It's here 1 minute and gone the next. That's a great attitude to have, isn't it? These things we're facing right now, we're going to think about them years from now, a millennia from now, and be like, oh man, yeah, I forgot. Wow, that was something, wasn't it? We were really flipping out and thought that was really a big deal. And it won't even be barely but a memory. Hallelujah. It's but for a moment. So look what Paul says here. Now remember, he just said we had an answer for death that was pressing in on us, that we despaired even of life. But an answer came up within us that we're trusting in God who raises the dead and not in ourselves. Do you remember that clearly? Now look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. One of them is bad enough. Three cities is the pits, man. And he says, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Do you remember the last thing he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that verse we just read? And he will yet deliver me. And then he gets here and he says, out of them all, was I delivered. Out of them all, the Lord did deliver me. What's significant about this? He had what he believed and what he said. And that is what's going to get us through anything we're facing now and in the future. Not our opinion, not who's doing what, not what spirits are operating in who in the media or in the world system. Believing in our heart the blood covenant. Saying the end result with our mouth. God supplies all of my need. I'm delivered out of every affliction and persecution. When I'm weak, I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I have overcome them because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he had what he said. I'm not giving the devil an inch and any permission to do anything in my life. If he wants to get squirrely, though, out of them all, the Lord will deliver me. How about you? Say amen to that. Hallelujah. Now look, Paul had what he said. The word of faith, faith in what? Faith in God and this blood covenant worked for him under all circumstances. Look how simple it was. We had an answer come up. Ooh, what's this deep revelation, Paul, that we're going to trust in God who raises from the dead? Hey, that's pretty simple. That's trusting God with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In a moment where you're despairing even of life, you don't need complex. You need simple and you need reliable. Do y'all remember the movie that came out with Anthony Hopkins and Antonio Banderas? The first, The Mask of Zorro, and Don Diego points to Alejandro and says, do you know how to use that thing? Talking about the sword. He goes, yes. The pointy end goes into the other man. you don't need complex in a fight of faith where you're despairing even of life and are concerned that you're not going to make it out of this alive. In fact, it looks like you're not going to make it out of this alive. What did he need? Yea, verily I'd say unto thee in eight paragraphs of, you know, prophetic illustration. No, he needs, oh yeah, we're going to trust in the God who raises us from the dead. So what if we die? He'll raise us up again and send us on our way. That's what you need in a time of crisis. Something reliable. I heard this from one of my dearest and best friends. He said this, the ABCs win fights. The simple things win fights because you can remember them under pressure. Amen. I'll give you, for instance, a friend of mine, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he taught for years. He didn't teach shooting. He taught how to fight with a gun. And he had a lot of military and police officers come through his class. Not that they were going to really sometimes learn anything groundbreaking or new. They were just going to rehearse training and tactics in solid procedures. Like, this isn't rocket surgery. That was a joke, by the way. This isn't rocket surgery. This is just simple performance under all circumstances. So one of his guys, one of the students attending class, was on his way home from class, stopped off for a bite to eat at a bar and grill. He had a beer with dinner, but he wasn't intoxicated. It was under the legal limit. He walks out of the bar, and he sees a guy walking towards him with a gun. It's going to stick him up. So before that guy can raise his gun, he gets his personal, now he's a law enforcement officer, gets his gun out and up and puts two in his chest. He's already shown intent. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. The person's gun was out. He was walking straight towards him and he was looking dead at him. He's already showing intent. There's a few more things to go with it I'll leave out just for the sake of the story. And so he gets done. The guy's down. Now, this is also the time where, hey, I survived a gunfight. You know, the movies, you spin your revolver, blow the smoke out of the barrel, put it away, and kind of have a hero moment. He said he hears inside of his head, my friend, the instructor, say, after you get done shooting at a target, you're supposed to scan and look for other threats. And the command is, after you get done shooting, you perform your drill, you hear the word scan. And you look left, you look right, and you look over your shoulder. So after he's dropped this guy, he hears the word scan at full volume in his head. He said he doesn't put his gun away, which he was reaching to do. He looks up, and getting out of the car, only about 10 paces down the road, is the guy he just shot's partner getting out of that car with a gun. Well, he gets the good news too. He puts two in him and drops him. What if he hadn't listened to his training? What if it had been so complex he couldn't remember it? He may not survive that night. He won one but lost the other. Listen, you only need to lose one gunfight and it's over. You don't want to lose. You don't want to be on the losing end of a gunfight. What is all that to say? Simple things win fights. He remembered it under pressure. What did Paul remember under pressure? Well, he was brought to his remembrance. He had it brought to his remembrance by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to trust in God who raises the dead. What is one of the foundational things he shares in Romans chapter 4 in verse 17? We make a lot about this, that he's the God who quickens the dead and calls those things to be not as though they were. We make a lot about, you know, as far as the word of faith, calling those things to be not as though they were. But we sometimes forget what's listed first, and he's the God who makes alive the dead. And Paul remembered, it looks like we're going to die. In fact, there's no way out of it. Apparently no way out of looking like we're all going to die. But the answer that came up in his heart from the Holy Spirit was this: I'm going to put my trust in the God who raises the dead. Isn't that good? This is how we're going to overcome times like these, is with the truth that we've already heard and learned. But now we need to apply it and be a doer of it. Lord, I'm going to act like it's true. I'm going to double down on the truth and not on my opinion. I'm going to double down on the word of God and not my ego. I'm going to make sure I know what I know and not what I think I know. I'm going to humble myself in the sight of God. Listen, faith only works with a humble heart. He's our source. I'm not leaning on what I know. Not even know about faith. I'm leaning on him. And he's reminding me what I need to know. Glory to God. All right, let's end it here today. Let's go over to Deuteronomy. They're close, right? Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews 10. You liked that story about the gunfight, didn't you? I thought that would drive the point home. In fact, I hadn't thought about it in years, so the Lord brought it out. I went, ooh, that's a great story. Yeah, I mean, he still had his ears ringing from shooting the guy twice, and all of a sudden he hears scan, like someone was standing right there over his shoulder, and looks up and hears, you know, scumbag number two getting out of the car to rob him. You know, you think, you see your partner get dropped by, you know, some quick draw, that's the time to just put your blinker on and pull out and drive away. Like, yeah, I don't know him. Not get out and try to, you know, take a shot at the title yourself. Like, you know, let's just go ahead and call it a night. You know, he had it coming. And I don't know him at all. And just drive away like, I'm in the wrong neighborhood. It's dangerous here. I'm leaving. You know, just slide that gun underneath the front seat a little bit further and be like, you just walk away like nothing happened. You're like, ooh, hey, sorry about that, pal. I don't know him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive, now listen to this, listen, all that he has promised. Doesn't that sound good? That would sound good if everything was hunky-dory in society right now. It sounds even better that things aren't. I don't know, have all the reasons why God's bringing it up, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I'm his messenger. You don't need to prove anything to anyone about your faith. We need to do this so that unbelievers will see that God's the Lord. He's already the Lord. It's not your job to prove anything to anyone. Being a Christian apologist is not a part of the fivefold ministry. Preach the word in season and out, and believe and enter into rest is part of our ministry. Having a good witness is part of our ministry. You want to know what's also a good witness? Being absolutely unflappable by darkness and by trouble and things like that. Glory to God. The Message translation says it like this. So don't throw it all away now. This goes all the way to the end of the chapter, but you'll like it. Don't throw it all away now. And listen, that's a word from God for you this morning. This sums up the entire message this morning. And it's a message from God for you. Don't throw it all away. Don't believe the lies. Oh, it's not working. It absolutely is working. You know what? Maybe you need to go ahead and ask God the question that's been bothering you for so long, but you haven't wanted to ask. God, why does it look like it's working for other people and not for me? And then actually humble yourself and listen for the answer. Sometimes we're just not as hunky-dory as we think we are. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes we're just not as, we're not executing as well as we think we are. We're not the stalwart examples of doers of the word we've made ourselves out to be. Just humble yourself. Listen, God knows where you are. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, we know where we are. This is not to bash anyone. There's no condemnation in this. Listen, there's freedom in this. Then if you can admit where you are, you can move forward from where you are. But if we're going to lie about it, we're going to stay put and die right where we are. Does everybody see that? Amen. All right. So he says this, don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. What if Peter had stuck it all the way and ended up standing there with Jesus? We'd have a completely different testimony. He did get walked back to the boat by Jesus. Jesus didn't drag him along halfway in and out of the water. Can you imagine that? Come on, Peter. And he's dragging him through the water about waist deep. Now he picks him up. Now look at this. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. But anyone who is right with me, this is the Lord speaking, anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. Anyone who's right with me thrives on loyal trust. Isn't that good? Glory to God. If he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. Why? Because he has displeased you? Yeah, because you won't be there for the promise to end. God's standing there by himself at the finish line with the birthday cake and all your presents, and you're not there. It'll hurt his heart. But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. I'm going to add this in. It's a translation, so I can put my own spin on it. We'll stay with it and flourish. We'll stay with it and thrive, trusting all the way. Man, don't let that part escape you that we shared today. The word of faith which we preach was proven reliable under all circumstances, including and especially the most dire one. Paul said, it looked like we had no hope to live. But we had an answer for this death that was coming our way, and it was to trust in the God who raises the dead. Because think about it. If trusting in God to raise the dead means that we're trusting in God to do the most impossible thing in this natural realm, then how hard is anything else? That's about as hard as it gets. That's about as impossible as it may look, is to raise the dead. And he said, well, we're going to trust in him who does raise the dead. He's done it before, and he'll do it again for us. But remember, man, our God is the God who does the impossible. Everybody got that? Our God is the God who does the impossible. Jesus said in red, if your daughter was here, I'd say, why? And she'd say, because it's in red. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. One chapter before that, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Isaiah 41:10, God says through the prophet, fear not, for I'm with you. Then the God who does the impossible is with me. And by being in blood covenant, he performs his oath. for me. He does the performing. I do the believing. So the word of faith, I believe it in my heart and I say it with my mouth, is not something that we put away now because, oh, we need a new revelation. No, we need to stick with our five smooth stones and our covenant in God. I'll deliver your corpse to the fowls of the air, and I'll take your head. And all the world is going to know today that there's a God in Israel. And what did David had? I took his head. I fed his corpse to the birds. I took his armor home to my tent. And I made a little money on the side. Hallelujah. I had no taxes for daddy and the family. And I got a nice pretty wife out of it. Hallelujah. Listen, he's a teenage boy. Money and pretty girl? There's no line to do this? Like, I'll do it right now. Let's go. I brought some cheese and like, hey, wait, pretty girl and what? Hallelujah. Our covenant is a sure foundation. It is a rock that can't be shaken. And by deciding we believe it and sticking with holding fast our profession, sticking with saying it with our mouth, we're going to have victory after victory after victory, and God will deliver us from everything that's trying to press in against us. Amen. Everybody say amen to that. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the atmosphere of faith in this place. Thank you for the spirit of encouragement and relief going through this atmosphere. Hallelujah, Lord, I praise you. You're so good. I love you and bless you. Glory to God. Let's just, yes, Lord, thank you. We said we'd do this at the end. Sean, you can go ahead and just hit pause on that. Let's go ahead and just lift our hands to the Lord. And y'all go ahead and receive it again. 2021 is the year that the righteous flourish as the branch. God is making us to have, Deuteronomy 28:11, carried over from last year, 2020, is making us to have a surplus of prosperity. And I'm announcing it today. I heard this from one of the prophets that I listen to and believe what the Lord gives him. Not just him, but what the Lord's given him. We will see unprecedented levels of the goodness of God this year in our lives and in this ministry in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So say that for yourself. Lord, I receive it. I believe I receive it. I'm seeing unprecedented levels of the goodness of God in my life. This will be the best year we've ever had. And as I say that, we will ever have. This is really the best year we've ever had to this point. Thank you, Father. It's a great year. We're flourishing as a branch. We're enjoying being in blood covenant with you. I'm thrilled to be in blood covenant with you. Glory to God. We're having days of heaven on earth. You're making my life like the Garden of Eden. We got plenty of room for other people to be blessed by and take refuge in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The favor of God is working in our lives. And I worship you and thank you for it. Now, thank you, Father. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit lives in me. Holy Spirit, I humble myself to my Heavenly Father, to my Lord Jesus, and to you. I look to you. You're my teacher and my guide. I follow you. Thank you for guiding me into all truth. Anywhere I'm missing it, I ask you to show me. Instruct, correct, and teach me. I believe I receive it. I assume nothing. I'm a blank page. I have ears to hear. I'm sticking with the word. I'm sticking with the blood covenant. I'm sticking with believing it and saying it and letting you bring it to pass. Hallelujah. But I'm sticking with the word. Now say this with me. I'm sticking with you. Heavenly Father, you're my best friend. You've made me your best friend. And I'm sticking with you. You and your word are my sure thing. You are my stability. Your word is my stability. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that good?